It's time for another edition of Dome and Domer, the only podcast for Notre Dame fans by Notre Dame fans. If you're looking for cogent analysis and unbiased opinions backed by careful reporting, you've come to the wrong place. For the next 20 minutes or so, you'll get a fan's perspective on the Fighting Irish without all the normal spin from the so-called professional analysts. It's Dome and Domer. Now, here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer.
My name is Mike Brammer. Joining me tonight, Ed Jordanic, as Coffee's got the night off. All right, Ed, we kind of did nail it a little bit on the pregame show. One of the concerns we had was what's going to happen with the linebacker play. And I think we found that out real quick on the first couple drives. But it wasn't all bad. I mean, there were some good things. I think there's clearly some things that, you know, the coaching staff is going to definitely need to work on. And I think a big story going into Georgia is going to be, did we see any improvement from some of the areas that are a concern from last night versus, you know, how do we adjust to New Mexico? But overall, what was your initial, I mean, what's your gut feeling right now walking off of that win?
Well, it was kind of like one of these sort of defining games for Notre Dame fans, right? Like, we know pretty, probably don't want to put words in his mouth, but maybe we know what Coffee would be saying right now.
I think so.
Tends to be a little glass half empty, and he would talk about they weren't prepared on defense, and what was Chip Long and Ian Book, were they in the Bahamas all? Well, that's sorry, not the Bahamas. That's a bad. Where were they all right. August? You know, were they even practicing? So you know, you're either a glass half full or you're a glass half empty person at the end of this game. If you're glass half full, you look at a team that was pretty dominant on defense for the last three quarters and gave up 3 points. You look at an offense that ran the ball pretty well and put 35 points on the board on the road against a team that, yes, they were crap last year. We get that, but they'll definitely be a more athletic team than New Mexico, Virginia, I would think, Bowling Green. They're probably the fourth or fifth most athletic team that Notre Dame will play this year, just in terms of sort of raw material and talent. They just had terrible leadership and coaching toward, you know, last year and got into an awful rut. And so,
yeah, and I think, you know, to the coaching,
it's really how you look.
Yeah, and I think that to the coaching staff's credit, there wasn't any real game film that they could prep on. I mean, I guess they could go look at Appalachian State, but, you know, what do you glean from that? You got a totally different cast of characters, like you said.
You'd like to see them a little bit better prepared than they were on those first two drives. I mean, and maybe that's anxiety, maybe that's the new linebacker, whatever. You can always make excuses, but they looked like they weren't well prepared. The flip side of that is Clark Lee demonstrated again that in-game adjustments are not something that Notre Dame really has to, that is a weak spot for Notre Dame. You know, it's something that he is comfortable doing, and they changed it up, both personnel and scheme, and it made a difference. It made a big difference. The stuff that drove me crazy that I think are negatives is, you know, and the, I think they're the things that are most easily fixable is, you know, illegal motions and offsides by senior linemen on both sides of the ball,
yeah,
you know, and,
definitely.
You know, that kind of stuff. When you have, the inability to convert sort of third downs, third and shorts, what is supposedly the strength of your team and offensive linemen. Now, I don't know if those were poor play calls by Chip Long, but like I've always said, you know, I think play calling is really overrated and gets too much emphasis. If you're Notre Dame playing a small defensive line, I don't care how many people they have in the box, you ought to be able to get 1 or 2 yards and get your first down. And they failed on that several times. So
yeah, know. that was big disappointments with that. You know, I do think that there are, of the things we've talked about, a lot of it is fixable. I mean, these are things you can address, and so you would hope that.
Have we seen Ian Book play better than that? Of course we have, right?
Yeah, so, exactly. That's exactly right. And you know, I thought it was a really good assessment by Brian Kelly at the end of the game where, you know, he just flat out said it, that Book just tried to put too much on his own shoulders. And I think there was probably a lot of that going on, you know, coming out of the gate. You got to kind of just slow down a little bit and you know, let the game take shape. You know, don't be too quick in your mind. But, you know, these are things that I think that can get corrected. And I expect that, you know, we didn't see the best of Ian Book this season last night. Not at all.
No, and they have to get healthier. I mean, you know, without Komet, without Young, without Jafar, basically for the whole game. I mean, those are three, quote unquote, you know, starters and potential playmakers that were not on the field. And I think it was really encouraging that Keys made a play and yep. Tremble made plays, and you know, Jameer Smith, who we had not you know, seen run the football before in a Notre Dame uniform, you know, performed and stepped in. You saw how quickly what's the freshman's name, Kyron Williams, he dropped a pass in the flat, and that's the last we saw of number 23 for the rest of the night.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Yeah, you hate to see that, but he'll bounce back. But you know, I do think that you're absolutely right. I mean, there's those are some big injuries, especially Michael Young. I mean, I just, you know, having a playmaker like that, a guy that's got breakaway speed, I mean, it makes a big difference. And so, you know, those are some of the tough ones. Now, on the positive side, the adjustments that they made, especially in that second half, I mean, we pretty much did dominate defensively. And who knows? I mean, I think maybe some of the adjustments we might see going into New Mexico and then into Georgia is maybe defensively schemes up front with our defensive strength being the defensive line is going to have to be a little bit less, let's say, gambling, but they're going to have to protect the gaps, because if the linebacker play continues to be what it is, then that's going to be something we're going to have to, you know, unfortunately cover.
Well, I think if you make a little checklist amongst the things that were the real question marks that would separate this team from being, you know, potential playoff team to, you know, 9-3, you know, something like that. I think, you know, after one game, you can't sort of you can't come to any real conclusion. So if you go down the check mark, like linebackers, right? Certainly not enough information to make a judgment yet. Terrible start, you know, decent adjustment finish, but they still don't really know who their most reliable guys are, who their playmakers are. Bilal was invisible except for his errors for the most part, you know, last night. Jack Lamb recovered a fumble. I don't know if he did anything besides that. Shane Simon was on the field a fair amount. Drew White obviously had a good, you know, had good numbers in terms of tackle, sack, pass breakup. So, you know, the other big one, of course, is Ian Book going from good to great. That obviously did not happen. But again, you can't say that he's not going to, although last night, to use my favorite Mike Brammer phase, does not bode well for a Heisman-type season for Ian Book. Kicking game, another concern, trending up. You know, Dorr did a good job. Bramlett, I think, will make, you know, will be just fine. Obviously, he had some nice hang time, and even his shank got a good roll for it. And there was a penalty at the end of it that resulted in around a 50-yard net play, even though it was a terrible punt. So, you know, those are the things that sort of were the main sort of question marks heading in, along with just sort of the overall, you know, kind of sort of mental toughness and physicality of the team. And the bottom line is that we're going to find out what Notre Dame is going to be this year in 2.5 weeks when they play Georgia. That's the defining game. That'll determine what this team does.
That's right. Yeah, usually by the third game, you pretty much know what you got. And, you know, unfortunately, that third game is going to be a barn burner for us. And I think the unfortunate thing is it's going to dictate the rest of the season because from a confidence level, you can't have the game that we had last night, go to New Mexico. You know, we should throttle them. I can't imagine that game is going to be close. But then the big, you know, moment for the Notre Dame faithful is how do you do at Georgia? I don't think anybody right now, after seeing what they saw last night, is expecting us to walk in there and beat Georgia.
No. Listen, the spread for that game would not be any different if Notre Dame would have beat Louisville last night 42-3 and Phil Jurkovec would have played the last quarter and a half. I mean, you know, the opinions on Notre Dame as big underdog in that game, possibly double-digit underdog. I'm not sure what the line is right now, but that was not going to change based on what happens at Louisville or in Notre Dame Stadium against New Mexico. It's just not. So, I think Notre Dame is going to actually cover in Athens and have a chance. It seems like Brian Kelly's teams in the last three, four years have sort of either played up or played down to the level of their opponents, with the exception, of course, of the of the Clemson game. I don't think we can really take away anything that from Saturday that either points, you know, into a more negative direction in terms of the result at Georgia or in a more positive direction. I think if anything else, it's sort of the cosmetics and the atmospherics that sort of helps in the sense that they'll go down to Georgia and that won't be their first road trip. It won't be their first trip in front of a, you know, it's obviously going to be a much crazier crowd, but still, you know, a jacked crowd on the road at night. So they'll have had some familiarity with that when they get down there. You can't duplicate it, but that's not a bad
right.
way to
get it. You're not going to see a lot of right. You're not going to see a lot of Georgia fans selling their tickets. I'll just tell you that right now. So it's going to be a tough game. But you're right. I mean, I think right now there's nothing can be garnered for what's going to happen at Georgia based on last night. However, what you'd like to see is some confidence pick up by having a good game against New Mexico and fixing some of these issues. You see some improvements there. Because you're right, Brian Kelly has the kind of coaching staff that can come up with a game plan that's going to give us our best shot at being competitive and potentially winning that game. It's going to come down to...
You have to have Claypool and...
Yeah, you got it's going to come down to players being healthy,
and hopefully
right?
hopefully commit at full strength, yeah. You
yeah,
just have to.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to have your guys healthy, and you got them. They have to be playing at the top of their game, and so it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, I think the season will go the way of that game, and I think as long as we play well and we execute and we're competitive, then we should have a really good year this year.
I mean, if there's anything that you want to negatively extrapolate from the game, I think you could, you know, in all fairness, say this is a team that could definitely lose to Virginia or BC or, you know, Stanford. You know what I mean? Like, in other words, they didn't come out and sort of, you know, lay the wood to Louisville in such a way that would make you think, okay, you know, coming off an emotional game against Georgia, they're still going to be able to, just based on pure talent and execution, you know, dispense with Virginia. If there's something that sort of that I took away from that is that, okay, they're obviously, in the words of, you know, Gilman, they're far, and Brian Kelly, they're far from a finished product. The problem with that is, you know, that introduces some sort of second tier games as being greater risk factors in my mind for losses. But that's, you know, again, that's sort of, maybe that was the case even no matter what the result was, but it does give a little more doubt in my mind.
You're always going to have that every season. You're going to have a couple games that you end up winning that you probably shouldn't have won. And that comes down to coaching, and it comes down to just the type of program that you got. Do you have the kind of players that can win when they're not at their best? And I think we're going to find that out. There's going to be a couple of those games that are going to happen to us. I think Boston College is a scary team. They're a lot better this year, and that's going to be a tough week for us.
But they lost to Virginia, right, in week one? Wasn't that like 35-28 Virginia? I think?
Virginia's good. Virginia's good this year. And I think Virginia is that other team. They scare me.
Especially
I think you're right.
Especially schedule after.
I mean, just coming after that, it's, you know, we're gonna be banged up, a big, huge emotional roller coaster of going into a place like Georgia and then coming back to Notre Dame Stadium. So I definite challenges. And yeah, I think you're probably right that we probably saw last night something that scared us a little bit in terms of, man, can we really get through this entire season and come away with 11-1. I was going to kid around with Coffee and ask him if he still wants to stick to his 11-1 prediction. after last night. But, you know, I think that the, like you say, we'll know after the Georgia game. I mean, we're going to know what kind of football team we have and where things stand and you know, what kind of season we're in for after that game. And, you know, look, I think we were all probably on the same page that it was somewhere between 9-3 and 11-1, with 10-2 being the more realistic outlook for the season, knowing that, you know, we had the schedule that we had.
Did you watch any Michigan highlights, or did you see I did not. I have not looked new offense. I mean, I read kind of a glowing review of it today, but then I recall seeing some tweets during the game that sort of was saying that it was not necessarily a, you know, kind of it didn't wow anybody. But I don't know. I don't have any, you know.
Yeah, I didn't. Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to watch any of that. Comcast that I have down here doesn't offer the BTN network, so I didn't even get a chance to see it.
Interesting.
But yeah, it's you know, if anything, I think college football as a whole, I'll tell you this, maybe I was just a little bit too hyped up for the season, but my overall outlook on college football is down a little bit. I didn't really see any dominating teams. Now, I did watch Clemson, and Clemson looked like Clemson to me. You know, the ETN is just one of those guys that's, you know, he's a game changer. I mean, he's just that good. The speed at which he cuts, he's just a dangerous guy every time he touches the football. So, you know, Clemson's Clemson, Alabama's Alabama, and then I think it's the rest of college football that is not a lot of separation between a lot of these teams. And they all have their faults. Nobody is dominating outside of those two football programs
moment. Yeah, and looking at the top 10, the margin of victories, it was really Notre Dame, Michigan, Ohio State that seemingly had the, just in terms of you looking at the scores, sort of the hiccups. Not that they didn't win and win easily, all three teams, but they seemed, I think they gave up more points than any of the other top 10, excluding, of course, the Florida, Miami deal. But, you know, because that was kind of more two sort of more evenly matched opponents in terms of talent. But I don't know. Were there any of the young players that particularly stood out to you? It was very enjoyable getting a first look in live. Yeah,
Hamilton
game action.
Really looked good. He impressed me. He really looked good. I was really impressed with him. You know, I think that defensively we did knock down quite a few passes. So guys were in the right position, and, you know, I that was positive, I thought. You know, I think that ultimately what you want to see is just us coming out and gaining some confidence from game to game. There are a lot of young guys that got a lot of time last night, and you want to see that build, because the if things hold true for what we're hearing, and that is that depth is something that's a strength of the program at the moment, then you would expect a lot of these guys competitively to be in situations where every Saturday they're fighting for their job. And, you know, I think some of these mistakes will get cleared up as a result of that. You're not going to get called for offsides three more times and think you're not going to get yanked. So, you know, that stuff should clean up. And I think, you know, some of the drops that we had, maybe not necessarily turnovers, but some of the fumbles that, you know, you kind of scratch your head over, especially the timing of them. Again, fixable things. And, you know, hopefully the coaching staff is obviously addressing this, and I have confidence they will. I think you're right. We're going to be ready for Georgia. We're going to go into that game. The eyes aren't going to be too big to compete. We'll be there. It's going to come down to, can we put healthy guys on the field with the game plan that we execute? And you know what? That's how the season's going to go.
Well, you know, I would think that somehow Brian Kelly's got to figure out a way in terms of the psychology for that game to get his team to play fast and loose and, you know, figure out a way to get it in their heads that all the pressure's on Georgia, that Notre Dame really doesn't have a lot to lose. You know, they're going to be big underdogs. Georgia has knocked on the door but have not played for a national championship. Their fan base and their team and their coach obviously thinks that it's their time to take that next step from, you know, a third, fourth, fifth place finish at the end of the year to, you know, playing for it all. They've had these, you know, 4 and 5 stars that are in the, in the program now. And so, you know, I don't know. I mean, skipping back to the Louisville game for a second, if you're a Debbie Downer, then you're kind of saying, well, geez, you know, that bobbled touchdown catch in the end zone, Louisville putting the ball on the ground, it could have easily been a lot closer and we just kind of skirted out of there. But I think that's a little bit too harsh of an assessment. I always get the impression that some of these coaches, that they feel like they've got a point to prove. And even though they knew they could dominate Louisville by running the ball, you know, they continue to have Book throw on first and second down. You know, they continue to sort of, you know, kind of, they kind of coached the game in a way that said to me, we're going to win this football game, so we need to work on all these aspects of our offense, as opposed to we're going to keep running these 5 plays and or these 4 running plays until they're stopped.
Right. I think you're right about that. That's a great point.
So I guess you got to work out those kinks because you need everything at your disposal when you. I mean, I don't know how you go an entire game without getting the ball in Chris Fink's hands, really, on offense. But they've got to get that all figured out.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting. I think there'll be plenty to talk about leading up to New Mexico and even after.
And New Mexico won the first weekend, right? Didn't they win their first game? I think they did.
Yeah, I thought they did. Yeah. I thought I saw that they won. I didn't see any.
Yeah, it was kind of caught up in the coverage about Davey's health, but
right.
But I think they won the game. So
I think you're right. Yeah. All right, good deal. We'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanic, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.